Well, I ask an interest in your prayers for this evening. Look in the Word for a little bit. I'd like to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 5. And I'd like to look at verse 34, beginning. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. What I want to visit about this evening is this word, reputation. Reputation, one definition, is a good name, the credit, honor, or character, which is derived from a favorable public opinion or esteem. Character by report, in a good or bad sense, as a man has the reputation of being rich or poor, or of being a thief. Gamaliel was a man that was had in reputation among all the people. Now, he commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, "Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered, brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee, in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God." Now, listening to the comments that he made to these men that brought the disciples before the council, this man Gamaliel had in reputation had some words to say. Reading the words that Gamaliel had to say, I can see why he was had in reputation. Because the words that he shared with the group there were words that were sound in wisdom. And the people were willing to listen to him and pay attention to what he had to say, because he had a reputation of being a man who was sound. He had a reputation of being one who was not flighty. He had a reputation of being one who had some wisdom and some understanding. And he had the reputation of having some understanding of history and some background. He named some people here. And he said, and this was a pretty astounding thing that he said, if these men are like the others, what they're doing is going to come to naught. But if it's of God, you can't overthrow it. You'll just be found to fight against God. Now, we'd have no record that Gamaliel was ever turned to be a Christian, or that he was favorable to Christianity, but at least he had some wise and sound counsel to give. So he had a good reputation. He was had in reputation. I think that every one of us wants to be had in reputation. We want to have a good reputation. We want to have people to have a good thought about us when they hear our names. We want them to think well of us. We want them to not have to duck their head or turn their eyes another direction when they hear our names mentioned. The scripture in Proverbs 22, verse 1, is a very common scripture. It says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." Think about what this verse is saying. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. All the money you could amass, money that could be put together in the coffers, a good name is rather to be chosen than all those things, because that money, very recently we heard of some people who have big money, who had reputation. Owner of an NFL team, caught in a sting operation, and now he has shame. And he has had to apologize to people. And the... Oh. This thing. Did you notice that? He has a stain on his life, on his character. If you have... I figured you would notice that. You'd think it would go unnoticed by any of your eyes. Okay. He has a stain on his character, on his reputation. He has something now that he has to carry with him, and he is a man who is 77 years old, coming down to the very end of his journey of life. And now he has this blotch on him. Do you know, if you have something in life that is a negative thing against your reputation, it's just like walking around with this. Do you think it's not seen, it's not noticed? Of course it is. Of course it's noticed when we have a bad reputation or if we have a good reputation. Now, it's not always as noticeable for a person that has a good reputation, but you get a bad reputation, folks, that thing will follow you. That thing comes after you. Character by report, in a good or bad sense, as a man has the reputation of being rich or poor, or of being a thief. No one wants to have a negative connotation put to their name. Negative reputation. Ecclesiastes 10:1 says this: dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savour. Dead flies make just about anything stink. All right? But then it says this: so doth a little folly him that is had in reputation for wisdom and honor. A man that has a name for having wisdom and honor, that has a name, this man Gamaliel, had a name for having, he had a good reputation, had a name for having wisdom and honor, but a little folly. A little folly. The stinking savour, a little folly causes it to stink, causes his reputation to not smell so good, because he had reputation of wisdom and honor, but now he's done something, a little folly, something foolish in his life. As we just mentioned about this gentleman, NFL owner, team owner, who was caught in a sting operation. Folly. Folly. And now he's got that to carry with him for the rest of his days, however many they be. And at age 77, folks, I'd hate to have something like that following after me for the rest of my life. It's going to be hard to get away from that. In the Bible, we have two characters that I consider to be polar opposites in their reputation. We have a man named Ahab. You know about Ahab. Ahab was a man, king, and he was not a good king. But the occasion I'm thinking about here this evening is Naboth's vineyard. Naboth had a vineyard, the scripture says it joined hard to the palace of Ahab. Now, as I interpret that, it means that it was right next door. The property lines came together, joined hard to it. Ahab wanted that. He approached Naboth about it. Naboth said, No. I can't sell you my vineyard. This vineyard came to me from my family as inheritance to me, and I can't sell it to you, because I want to be able to hand it down to my own family, and I can't part with it. So Ahab goes home and goes back to his place. And got on his bed. And if I'm not mistaken, the Scripture said he turned his face to the wall. Oh, poor little Ahab. King. Now I don't want the vineyard. So I'm going to pout a little while. Jezebel comes along and says, what's the deal here?
Naboth won't sell me his vineyard.
Well, aren't you king? Take it. So she made arrangements to have Naboth charged with false charges, had him brought up, had him killed, and said to Ahab, Naboth's gone. Go take the vineyard. And Ahab did go take the vineyard. And he was happy to have the vineyard. What kind of reputation is that, folks? What kind of reputation, how would you feel about every time that you woke up and said, I'm going to go for a walk in my vineyard? I'm going to take a walk in my vineyard for a while. Isn't this a beautiful vineyard? Look at all the grapes. Oh, I can't wait till those grapes turn ripe. This is one wonderful vineyard. And I want to share all of my grapes with everyone in my kingdom because look at this wonderful vineyard I now have. So doth a little folly, him that is had in reputation for wisdom and honor. Now, I don't say that Ahab had honor and wisdom in his life, but surely there must have been something that was in his mind when he went to enjoy his vineyard. What do you think other people thought about it while he's out there trying to enjoy his vineyard? Walking around, oh, our wonderful king, look at this wonderful vineyard he has. Such a beautiful vineyard, and look how he enjoys his wonderful vineyard. Would that be the reputation? Is that how you would describe Ahab if you were describing a man like that? I doubt it. You'd probably look at that and say, that's awful. Look at him. Look what he did. He had a man killed so he could take his vineyard. And look at him strolling around in the man's vineyard with a smile on his face. And he stops every once in a while and plucks a grape and tastes it. Oh, what a reputation. Ahab didn't have a very good reputation. Can we say to our folks here, young folks, young men, young ladies this evening, remember, your reputation means something. Joseph, Jacob's son, Israel's son, two very different characters in their reputations. Now, Joseph got off to a little bit of a rough start because he had some dreams and told his mom and dad and his brothers, and it didn't go very well, and they didn't like what he had to say. But the Lord was with Joseph in his life, and the Lord used Joseph. The Lord taught Joseph some very strong lessons while he was down in the land of Egypt after he had been sold to the Ishmaelites, I believe it was. Maybe I don't have that right. Anyway, he was sold and taken down to Egypt as a slave and ended up in Potiphar's house. One of the first things that happened to the young man, he was in the house trying to take care of his master's business, and Potiphar's wife came to him. And she tried to seduce him. And he said, I can't do this thing. My master entrusts all this to me, and I can't do this thing. And he tried to flee. She grabbed his coat, and she brought up false charges against Joseph. He was thrown in prison. While he was there, the Lord worked with him and caused there to be some things happen while he was there. He ended up getting out of prison because he was able to interpret dreams. And he interpreted Pharaoh's dream about the 7 years of famine, the 7 years of drought, the 7 years of plenty, and the fat cows and the lean cows and the hard wind, the full ears of corn, the lean ears of corn. He interpreted all that to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, Joseph said, here's my advice. You've got 7 years of famine coming. You take these 7 years of plenty and you lay up in store because you've got some bad times coming. Pharaoh says, what better man is there for me to put in this place than this man that just told me what to do? Joseph rose up through the ranks in a kingdom where he was a foreigner, and he built himself a reputation while he was there, so much so that Pharaoh, the highest man in the kingdom, was willing to make him the number two man and entrusted him with the wealth. It wasn't just the corn, folks. Joseph had the control of the food supply for the land of Egypt. He had the ability to manipulate things to his advantage had he wanted to. But he had the reputation that he wanted to please his God. And he did so by his actions, by his words, and by his deeds. And Pharaoh recognized something in him and brought him up to a place of number two in the kingdom. Such a contrast between the two. One who was a king and did awful things during the time while he was king and had a reputation of being such a wicked king. And here's a young man who came up from somewhat circumstances in his own life where he was a little bit, can we say, spoiled maybe? Our father never made us coats of many colors. Here comes that dreamer. Look at his coat. Let's do this with him. Let's sell him. Let's throw that coat and him down that pit. Let's take this coat back to Dad. Let's rub some blood on it and say, here's your son's coat. We found this. The Lord had His hand on Joseph. And he had a good reputation. And the Lord wants us to have a good reputation. He wants you to live your life in such a way that you have a reputation. Now, the way we're viewed very often reflects the kind of life we're living. Sometimes people can have prejudice against us and say things that aren't so about us. Not a whole lot you can do about that except just keep living the solid, steady life day in and day out. And at some point, let that prove itself out over the years. It might take some time. But don't become discouraged. Continue with your good reputation. Hold on to your reputation. Hold on to your character. Hold on to the things that you have in your mind and your life, knowing the things that are right, and continue to do the right things regardless of what people say and what their assessment is of you. Continue to do the right things, and at some point you will outlive and you will overcome those negative impressions that people have of you when they are unfounded. When they are unfounded. That's our position. We have to make sure that they are unfounded. All right? There's a saying, and this is so true, actions speak louder than words. Knowing this, folks, we need to take our reputation seriously. The book of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine. Let your reputation so shine. Do the things that are right so to bring glory and honor to God. Let your reputation reflect an image of God in your life. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And then Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 3 and 4. To guard a reputation, to keep a good, clean reputation, to keep good character. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. There are things that you and I need to do in our lives in order to maintain a good reputation. If you incorporate what the Scripture here says, let these things not be named among you. But if we attach ourselves or allow these things to be attached to us by our conduct, just as surely as we do it, folks, we're going to obtain a negative reputation, a bad reputation. And that thing is going to follow us through life as long as we maintain this type of conduct. But if we put those things away, put them aside, and we choose not to have those things incorporated into our lives and maintain our honor and integrity and character before God and our fellow man, we can have a good reputation, enjoy a good reputation through life, and enjoy the benefits of it. Not just having a clean, holy life before God, but being able to have association and fellowship and affiliation with others who have good reputation. To be able to have that type of interaction with one another. And may the Lord help us to see the importance of holding on to my character and the values taught in the Scriptures to maintain a good reputation, not just out of discipline. We spoke this morning about the importance of salvation and sanctification. To have those things incorporated in my life to help me to maintain a good, solid reputation and character before God and before my fellow man. If I profess to be a Christian, but my reputation isn't aligned with the Christian life, I can give people a negative view of the church and of Christianity. I heard a story not too long ago, and when I heard this, it made me cringe. There was a deacon in the church, and when he was around certain people, he'd curse a blue streak. Does that sound compatible? A deacon curse a blue streak? No. That's incompatible. What kind of reputation did that give to him? And what kind of reputation did that give to his church? And to the place, excuse my stuttering, the place of a deacon, the name of a deacon. To be able to have such a place, such an office, such a name, be involved in a church, be a deacon in a church, but just can turn loose a blue streak of curse words. Bad reputation. Let it not be once named among you. Scripture says it's become a saint. All uncleanness, filthiness, foolish talking. The world doesn't need more professing Christians. It needs true followers who are very serious about their beliefs and whose lives show forth the power of the gospel. And you can have that in your life. You can have within you the source of power that is able to help you overcome the powers of darkness. You can have within you that source of power that helps you overcome wickedness and evil when it's brought across your path in the form of a temptation. You can have the power within you that allows you to be a victor over those situations in life. You can have that power within you that causes you, when you're faced with difficult situations and when you're faced with hard things, and when you are faced with temptation, that you have the power within you to steal away, if at all possible, steal, literally, physically steal away to a place of prayer. But if that is not possible, to literally, physically steal away, run, if it's not possible to do that, that in your mind and in your spirit, you can put up a wall and you can put up a resistance against that thing and you can pray for God to be merciful to your soul and keep you in that situation and in that instance. And God in heaven, who has the power to make a change in your life and give you the power to overcome, can help you to hold on to your reputation and hold on to your character when you're presented with those situations that are very, very uncomfortable and embarrassing. I spoke to you a moment ago about this man who NFL team owner who allowed himself to be caught in a very seriously compromising situation. He put himself in that place. He put himself in that place. He made that choice to go there. He made the decision to make that appointment. He made the decision to have the arrangements made to be there. Folks, if you flirt with it, just as surely as I'm standing here before you this evening, if you flirt with it long enough, it'll catch you. It'll catch you. But by the grace of God, by the power of God, and by His Holy Spirit that we spoke about this morning, through consecration, sanctification, dedication, holiness, purity, whatever you want to call it, God is able to make you stand fast and help you stand fast for Him and give you the power that you need within you to hold on to your character and your reputation before the Lord and before your fellow man. Lord, help us to be not just a professing Christian, but a true, honest, following child of God, sincere and earnest in my desire to do the right things and hold fast to the truth. I appreciate your time and attention this evening. God bless each one is my prayer. You pray for me. I want to make heaven my home. Amen.